Welcome to Animation Damnation, loyal Patreon subscriber. This is the spooktacular October edition of our cartoon chat show. My name is Andrew Jupin, and I'm alongside three of my best construction paper cutout buds. We have Steven Sadak.
My head is flapping because I'm Canadian.
Chris Cavan.
Hey, you guys.
There he is.
There it is. And Mr. Eric Siska.
Arr, avast ye mateys.
That's right, dude, because we are talking South Park, the episode in question, Korn's Groovy Pirate Ghost Mystery, original air date, October the 27th. 1999.
Wow. Mm-hmm. You better believe I watched this live with a big fat soda pop, dude.
Oh, dude, yeah. Did you have a Korn t-shirt on at the time?
I did not. I never owned a Korn t-shirt.
Sure. No.
Didn't have the money for that.
Yeah. No, that's the other thing. It was very expensive.
That was a triple tier joke. Got me in all the right sections.
Oh yeah, dude. The heart, the dick, everywhere you're getting kicked.
It was like one missile that it split into three. Like, oh no!
Cyrax wins.
Yeah.
Were you going someplace else with that, Steve? I was just saying, because like this was like I was going back through it. This is there's like 20 some odd seasons on Max or whatever. And I was looking at those air dates and I'm looking at like the episode titles like around it and whatever. And I was like, oh yeah, this was like, I was hardcore into South Park at the time that this episode aired. No doubt about it.
I was into them. I was into Korn. This was, I think they debuted the song at the end of this episode. This, I think, was the single off of Issues, which was the follow up to Follow the Leader.
Right. Bringing me down.
Yeah.
Down
into the ground.
Falling away from me is the song that they do at the end.
That is it.
You know, it's not bad. We might have to do. What album did we cover on our Korn cast?
Follow the Leader.
Follow the Leader.
Yes. We might have to do Issues as well, because I remember it having some okay ones.
Yeah, that's a pretty good. This is kind of a banger. I was like, I'm banging to it. I'm bopping.
I remembered this one. I was like, oh, okay. I will say, though, we cannot do another Korn cast until we do that Limp Bizkit cast, or people will riot in the streets.
We'll definitely, in 2024, be doing Limp Bizkit. And if you don't know, folks, if you're new, yes, we did a review track by track of Follow the Leader, the Korn album. Yes. You can find that somewhere on the $8 level.
Yes, you can. And we will be doing a significant other. It's not going to be $3 bill, y'all. I'm not doing that. But significant other seems like the one to do.
I was obviously to South Park. I remember we discovered it like on a summer trip to Virginia one year. We call it the first three episodes. We thought we were like, wow, we were blown away by it. And then we came back to school and like everybody was talking about it. I was like, oh wow, you were in Virginia too? I was like, no, this is fucking national television.
Found this local Virginia cartoon?
That's what it felt like. When you find something on vacation, you think it only exists there.
Yep.
But I was there, I guess, basically through high school when I got to college, and just and the show changed into. There's that very good 6 days to air thing documentary about
them making
one South Park episode, which kind of encapsulates the problem with not the singular problem. One of my larger problems with South Park is this idea that they want to do it, that they have to respond. Like the episode itself has to be so new and fresh and responsive to what's going on. And we only have 5 days to get there. Like, no, just take your time.
The whole notion of like ripped from the headlines, Law and Order style South Park episodes. I found it so exhausting, especially because a lot of the times the topics would be things I was tired of fucking hearing about in the first place.
Right. Well, I mean, it's inherently reactionary. Like that's the one thing you can't help but be reactionary because you don't have much time to react. Like you're literally just getting together what you can about the subject in that amount of time. I'm going to definitely be the biggest defender of this on this episode. I I kind of like that they're the one guys who do it and like actually have stuck to it. It has caused them to create a really bad show.
But you loved it like 26 years later,
like,
or whatever.
Yeah,
you
like
loved it for years though, Chris.
Oh, I loved it for years. All through college, all through high school, all through college, I was totally into this. I thought this was hilarious. I haven't gone back to it, so I'm sure I would have a lot more to say about it now. But I remember dying at the Osama bin Laden episode.
Yes. Now that's funny you mentioned that, Chris, because I'm on Wikipedia right now because I was trying to see when did this rip from the headlines thing sort of start.
Right.
August 8th, 2001, Tally premieres, and then the show goes off the air for a while, presumably because of, well, I guess there was probably a break here in general, but September 11th happens. They don't come back till November 7th, and that is then Osama bin Laden has farty pants is the episode when they come back. And sure. I think around 9/11 is probably when I made a clear break.
Yep.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, like, we're all living in a different reality at that point. I was like, I got to drop something, and I think South Park is the thing to do it with.
And I mean, like, you know, it worked. And again, I think some of the more sophomoric stuff, and I think that, like, this show, like, I think that Trey Parker and Matt Stone are very good at parody. I think that World Police has a lot of good parody in it. I think.
Oh, right. Dude, that's a movie I haven't thought about in fucking 15 years.
I haven't seen
Team America, Police. Yeah.
Holds up still. I rewatched it recently.
Did you really? Wow.
I was never that into it, but I'm probably wrong. I remember I was interning for Conan O'Brien when it came out, and he was a big defender of that movie. So,
oh, that's interesting. I remember we saw that. It was a preview screening like the night before it opened or something at the White Plains Cinema Deluxe, and I will never forget one of the funniest things of like stranger audience interaction ever was the movie was about to start. I don't think like the lights were going on. We were just kind of like sitting there waiting, and this fucking dude turned around totally like by himself in the row in front of us and just turns around and looks at me and whoever was like sitting, you know, in my immediate area, and was just like, did you know what the big song from this movie is? And I was like, no, I don't. And he just goes, he looks me like dead in the eye, and he just goes, America, fuck yeah. And then turned back around in his seat. It was just like, okay, man, now I'm gearing up to watch this puppet movie. Yeah.
But I mean, I think they have a good handle on parody. They're very, very funny at it. And I think that the more political it got, the more whatever it got, it just sort of, and also like, can cartoons end, ladies and gentlemen?
26 years on the
air.
Is
it possible for a cartoon to end? No. Dan Harmon was threatening today, to this very day, that Rick and Morty will go on for decades. I'm like, God damn you.
Yeah,
like, just cancel it. You lost the guy because he was a fucking pervert or whatever.
Right. Yeah,
just
totally.
End that. Could we end one of them?
No. Because you're never going to stop thinking about that, right? Like, everything after that, for that particular cartoon, is all fucking tainted. Like, you're just gonna be let's you know, whatever. I don't watch that show.
You're
I never
talking,
got into it.
You're talking from the perspective of a sane person, which is not the person who would still be attached to a show like this over so many years, which is a large portion of the people who really are into fucking Rick and Morty are obsessed with that show and like the tone of that show and the way that that show exerts its like knowledge of things. And like I think once you have that kind of iconography, I think even Bob's Burgers is going to keep going for fucking ever. Like, I don't think you're going to be able to stop it, because once you have that kind of level, they won't stop. They can't stop.
I mean, it is that thing where it's like, you know, you can't see anyone aging doing the voices. So I guess whatever. But I mean, so far it's not happening with Bob's Burgers, but definitely The Simpsons. And to get us back to this cartoon, definitely with South Park, because I've seen like clips, like more recent clips of things. I have not watched a full like new episode, like we said, since the fucking start of the Iraq War. But like, they're almost like unrecognizable, because these poor people like have just been doing this for almost three decades and nobody sounds the same.
Do you did you miss the episode Deep Learning from March of this year, where Stan starts using ChatGPT to do his essays, and the episode itself is co-written by ChatGPT?
Oh, dude, isn't that clever?
Wow. Mm-hmm.
So how about that?
Yeah, who needed, you know what, you shouldn't even gone on strike.
But this is the thing I'm talking about, though. It's like, I'm so sick and tired of hearing about ChatGPT fucking everywhere I look. And then I go to my cartoons and we're roasting ChatGPT there too. No. Give me this where it's a fucking half of it is a Scooby-Doo parody with Korn being adorably quirky.
See, there you go. That's an entry point. Big band at the time. Scooby-Doo. Everyone kind of knows. I feel like ChatGPT asked some construction worker or some guy on the street.
Yep.
Are they going to really know what that is? You have to be terminally online, I think, to really get into ChatGPT.
I think nowadays it is more like that you have heard of, like, because everybody is online in some way. Like,
yeah, somebody is
they're either Facebooked or they're fucking Twittered or they're Instagrammed. Like, or, I mean, God help us, they're TikToked. Like, they have heard of this shit. And, like, that is, I mean, it's the reason South Park sucks now. It's the reason that Simpsons sucks now. Is because that is what they constantly go back to. Is like, well, we commented on like current events on our heyday. If we just keep on doing it, we have to be good at it, right?
And that's
I mean, we did it for at the best time,
right? And just commenting on, you know, what's going on is a problem too. I'd rather see fucking Homer Simpson try to find the pig that went down the river, you know?
Yes, exactly. And this episode, this is like a very classic. It's the Halloween special. We have a Halloween opening that's kind of fun. I was like, oh, I remember this sort of.
Dude, it came rushing back to me like a fucking tidal wave, man. I couldn't even believe it. Like the exact alternate opening. Like, I don't know how many times I've seen this particular South Park episode, but I guarantee it is a lot of times.
Yeah. I've seen this one a lot of times. I mean, this, I just love the, because I watched it for so long. Seeing Butters back when he wasn't really a character is like funny. Like, sure. Just have him kind of being a bully in this episode for part of it. But that, what I do like about it is the simplicity of it. It's just like, it has its edgy moments with the grandmother corpse and stuff like that.
Sure.
But like, it is, and that is definitely of the time. We like, in about 2 years, you're all of a sudden things change as we know.
Sure.
But like, just watching them open it up like this and just like immediately hit the ground running, like I was immediately back in this world. Like, I just remember like all the characters and just immediately like, oh yeah, the them meeting at the bus stop, all that stuff. And I ended up watching like 3 episodes of this after this one.
Because this is back when they were kids. And I mean, I know they're kids now, but like now it's so evolved and they're so, again, reactionary to whatever's going on in the culture. Like, immediately, it's like, no, it's like, hey, there's going to be a Halloween contest. Who's going to win? Yada, yada, yada. You're poor. Yep. I'm fat. Like, they act like kids instead, live in a world of kids.
Let's take down a religion or whatever.
Yes, exactly.
Right, exactly. And like, this is great because their biggest thrust, like, part of it, Steve, like you said, was they're just all talking about their little costumes, and the joke is Kenny keeps saying that he's gonna win this year, and they're like, no, you never win every year. Like, that's part of it. And then also a truly kid thing, the older kids bullied us and we want to get back at them, and so how do we get back at these evil fifth graders, one of whom is wearing a t-shirt with his own face on it, which I think is very funny.
And that character has been around, right, Chris?
Yes.
Right, he always has that t-shirt.
Yes,
it's really funny.
I like those little I love the cheapness of this show. That's like what I think I always like was drawn to, was just how like they. It's funny when you watch it now on Max, it says coarse language. I'm like, the whole thing's coarse. Like everything about it is like, and that's kind of what I was drawn to. But yeah, having them start with like them, man. Remember when like. It's not just this episode. It's many episodes where they use gay as like the casual pejorative way.
Sure.
Like, it's just like, it's amazing that this was just like, there was definitely people who weren't into it, but like the culture did not have any pushback on this.
No, because the show, I would argue, is responsible for that continuing to be used as a pejorative for years to come.
It's a real turnoff for me. I think that's also why I also stopped watching this show. Is, you know, my brother is gay, and I kind of don't like when people use it as a negative like that.
That seems pretty reasonable.
It's fucking shitty. Because that's the thing, is like, and it happens like a couple times in this episode. Thankfully, it's not a ton, because I think like if they really were doing it a lot, I wouldn't have been able to really get into it. But like there was the one at the start that I was like reminded. I had to be reminded like, oh yeah, they do this. Because the setup is the funny, like, what are you going to say, Steve?
Oh, that was, you're going to do it. So do it.
Because the setup is like, there's the guy from like it is the hilarious like South Park easy listening music station, radio station. And he's talking about like the South Park Halloween haunt. It's always funny. And he's like, all right, look, I'm going to talk to this little kid here about the South Park Halloween haunt. What do you think about the Halloween haunt? Stan says something like, this one time, like 8 months ago, I saw two guys kissing in a park and it was less gay than the South Park Halloween haunt or whatever. And I was like, got it. This is definitely 1999.
Which is weird because one of my favorite characters early on, and what I liked about, there was like these two bullies that would, that were always fucking with the kids. And they would just say everything was gay, but they wouldn't know what that meant, basically. Like, stupid gay dog. And that, like, which is kind of, like, that was at least saying something. Like, oh, yeah, dumb kids say this stupid word. They don't even know what the fuck they're talking about.
Right.
But then you have your cool characters spin it into the joke. And then it's like, well, then you lose that argument immediately. And
yes, yes.
And then there was the F-bomb episode years later, which was the dumbest thing I've ever seen.
With the bike riders.
Trying to reclaim it. That was
one of the South Park started saying the F-bomb with the T at the end.
With the T at the end, it was like, oh, you know what? That word isn't for gay people anymore. It's for guys who ride motorcycles because they're so annoying. Yeah. That word just means annoying. And it's No, it doesn't.
Now do the N-word.
I'm sure in 26 years there was an episode where they fucking classily and constructively addressed that, Eric. Don't worry about it. It's a simple, the Halloween haunt, like down at the docks, which I really love the idea that in Colorado, they have docks for some reason. I guess South Park's on like a big lake, maybe. I was stunned actually because I'd forgotten this. The gag of Cartman going into like the spooky laboratory and like the rest of the kids don't want to go in because it's like, Cartman, you just touch like fucking cold spaghetti and it's whatever. And he's all thrilled for it. And it's like, dude, the escalation from he's touching eggs as eyeballs and then Jell-O's like brains. And then it's fucking a child fisting a donkey. My God. Like he's blindfolded and the guy, like an adult, puts a child's arm of a donkey's ass.
My biggest laugh in this scene was the guy's name being Dr. Spook-a-Lot.
Yeah. Also, that'll do it too. I like the call back to it later when he comes out. I was like, ew, my hand smells like spaghetti.
Oh my God. Yes, smell my hand, guys. It smells like spaghetti now. But while Cartman is doing that, the rest of the boys, these are where the bullies come in and they tell them about the South Park pirate ghosts and, oh, that's not real. You're just trying to scare us, like kind of all that shit. So that's like sort of what sets off this episode. It's like, fuck them because they like scare them with a fake like cardboard cutout.
Now we have to scare the fifth graders back. Let's go dig up Kyle's dead grandmother.
Great idea. I mean, I've done this 100 times.
It's so fucking insane, though, that it just like, the level.
Yeah. I definitely appreciated it more back then. Nowadays, looking back, I feel like it's a little extreme.
It was funny that I felt the same way. Like I remember at the time, my jaw was on the floor, and then I'm like, oh, okay. But it is funny. It is. It's a funny escalation to a very simple problem.
Yeah.
Yeah. I never bought the like. Eventually, it does. I think get into edgelord stuff, but this just felt like more like just using those elements, like. I never felt like they were just being like, hey, isn't this cool just because of how extreme it is? Like, there was always a joke to it. There was always a backbone of a laugh there to be had.
I mean, because the joke of that is it is such an escalation, right?
Yes.
Eggs to Jell-O to fisting a donkey. I mean, it is 0 to 1,000.
I'm still laughing. I'm 40 years old and still laughing.
I love the gag of the easy listening DJ is like so stoked that Korn is coming to town and like, that the radio station that plays easy listening music would be plugging it at all, which is pretty great.
Yeah, yeah.
This episode also was, I've been circling a Fog rewatch, and this sort of made me more want a Fog rewatch.
It's we're in October, man, is the perfect time. I got that like 4K that came out that Shout Factory did a while ago.
Mm-hmm.
It's really great. That movie, I think, is a super underrated Carpenter, and ooh, some Adrian Barbeau late night DJ shit in that movie. Fuck yes. Ooh.
I could
now see. I want to rewatch it.
Now we're doing it.
But yeah, so the other side of this is Korn is coming to town. And we're introduced to them driving to the gig in their, like, you know, Scooby-Doo-esque Korn mystery machine kind of a thing, mystery mobile, whatever, going to the South Park docks. And this is just like, they're really good at playing to, you know, the opposite of what your expectation of the guys in Korn are like. Yes. You know what I mean? And it's right. Like Jonathan Davis just leading a game of I Spy in the car. And it's like the most obvious, like, I Spy something that starts with a T. Ooh, is it trees? And they're like literally driving through a forest.
It's smart because you can't, you know, you have the Korn's image from in 99. You can't really play that further up. It's much funnier to play it the opposite direction.
And which absolutely. Is, oh, go ahead.
Oh, no, the animation changes. There's a laugh track. Like, we're doing a lot to get you into the Scooby-Doo mindset. You know, like, and Scooby, very Scooby-Doo-ish. Like, here's the big celebrity guest star, the Harlem Globetrotters or whatever.
Right.
That just hanging out with these kids. And again, I think all of this is really effective and very funny. It's a really good delivery system for these kinds of jokes.
Yeah. And, you know, that's what you think about, like, when you have celebrities voicing cameos on cartoons where they're, like, playing themselves.
Yeah.
I kind of find it does work best when they're playing like a parody of themselves. Like, one of the ones on The Simpsons that I think is the absolute best is when Homer befriends Alec Baldwin and Kim Basinger, and it's Ron Howard, and he's like annoying them, and he's like constantly drinking vodka through the whole, like, and all of that shit. And it's just like very against Ron Howard's like clean cut, whatever kind of persona. Mm-hmm. And I think that shit is so funny. And here with Korn, I spy something that starts with the letter P. Letter P, poop poop pirate goes. And I gotta say, all the guys in the band are really game with the voice acting.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was very happily surprised.
Which again, I think is because you're giving them something specific to do. Like, it's like, hey, you've watched this stupid, you're a Gen X loser just like we are. Well, you've watched this stuff now, right. Kind of do it exactly this way. And that makes it a lot easier.
Yeah, no, you're totally right. I love their little cornmobile just like driving off a cliff. Like, that's how bad the scare of them happens. Meanwhile, the other sort of C thread is like Cartman is excited because since it's Halloween, it's only 72 shopping days till Christmas. And like the gag of him walking around all this Halloween stuff, singing Christmas carols, like through the cemetery and whatever is really hysterical. I think
I laughed a lot at this. And like, I think probably last time I was laughing, it's always like the delivery of something like Cartman's voice, like the voice work on the show has always been incredible. Has not always been saying the best stuff, but it, voice work, I've just, the delivery of some of these characters always makes me laugh just by like what words they choose to use. It's that easy.
Him circling the little catalog or whatever, and then like the boys come over and they're doing like their usual like fat shaming of Cartman, but like the funny in the cruelness of the mom also laughing at him is pretty great. Him like realizing what she's doing, like, are you kidding me, mom? Like, why are you laughing at this? It's awful.
Then it's the suggestion. Well, why don't we go dig up Kyle's grandmother and scare the fifth graders with that? Let's go get it up. And Kyle has some issues with this, as he usually does.
Them staring at the like, they fucking open this thing like some Lon Chaney grave robber movie or something. It's propped up, you know, which very impressive that these little boys were able to do this. But like the way that they animate the corpse kind of just sliding to the side of the coffin, and like the sound that they put in right there, it's really well done. I was like, bleh!
These are very strong boys. I mean, I've been a pallbearer twice, and that's kind of heavy, man.
Dude, the whole responsibility of being a pallbearer. I've been a pallbearer at least twice, maybe three times, and like the fucking heat is on, dude. Yeah. I mean, like the possible. I remember once it was my my grandfather's wife's funeral, and nobody cared for this woman.
Is that a step grandmother?
No, she was my grandfather's wife, and that's where we left it. But
so it was cool. If you two guys oh, got it on.
Oh anyway. God, I'll be over here puking. No, but like it was in the winter. And like I said, she had no one because no one cared for her. So I got stuck being one of the pallbearers. And like we're kind of sliding on the fucking frozen grass in the cemetery. Dude, yikes. It is one of the most high pressure situations of all time.
I mean, I carried two grandmothers and it was, you know, those are dainty ladies and it was still heavy.
Yeah, it's crazy shit. So yeah, I'm very impressed that these boys got their grandma's coffin out here. But they just fucking wrap this poor woman's body up and put it on a sled, which is great with Cartman's like Christmas expectations
and him getting that the catalog in the mail and circling everything he wants for Christmas. It's that's the way you know. I mean, I guess it started then. It's going on now. Right, you know, right when fall hits, we want Christmas.
We do.
Instead, I just want 3 months of Halloween.
Thank you.
Please. Yeah. Please.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. I'm already starting, dude. It's late September. I'm like, I can't wait for October. Fuck it.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Let's do it. Let's get it going.
And also, hey, people listening to this are in October now. So
there you go.
Happy Halloween.
There's a wild line, I think, it's got to be Cartman maybe that says it when they're discussing like, well, now that we have grandma's corpse, like how are we going to use it to scare the fifth graders? And I think it's Cartman goes, we could shove a stick up her ass and use her as a puppet.
Yeah.
Wow.
Which they do eventually at the end.
At the corn concert.
Mm-hmm. Yes, they do it.
Yeah. Well, there's a reason why it's a little easier to manage at that point, I think. I love, because yes, this is like a Scooby-Doo thing. So like Corn's parody of that is this like talking bird named Niblet, which is amazing. Oh my god, this thing eating potato chips nonstop.
And it's just this weird little, like, you know, Hanna-Barbera nightmare creature. Like,
yes, Hanna-Barbera, good call.
Probably from outer space. They even say that he's from outer space at one point. Like, it is, it's just that thing that, like, we needed some kind of Scooby-esque creature in all of those shows, and I think Niblet's a very funny idea. I remember thinking about Niblet quite often, actually.
Is that right?
Really
stuck with it.
Yeah, and my thoughts often drift to Niblet.
You have a Niblet t-shirt.
Oh dude, yeah, I'd wear a little Niblet t-shirt. He's cute. He's eating his little potato chips and whatnot. Mm-hmm. It reminds me of including an invisible little green alien that only named Osmodiar that only Homer can see.
Exactly.
Which is a great Simpsons spinoff showcase joke. So yeah, they put they put grandma down by the docks there to like, it's like an overnight thing. Like, we'll leave her here. And then when the Halloween spooktacular is going on tomorrow, we're going to scare those kids. And immediately you just see this stray dog taking the corpse away. Oh man. here's another good series of jokes. The two guys who are the cemetery like keepers who are like clearly well-versed in fucking dead bodies and going to the Broflovskys' house, like explaining to her, like, this is likely what they'd be doing right now is, and just like going into it. Oh my God, it's great.
And talking about like, right now actually is probably soaking it in warm water because the corpse would be dry, too dry to fuck. So
they've removed her eyes and made love to the empty sockets as well.
And this is the original Kyle's mom, Mary Kay Bergman, RIP, who is great.
I didn't know she passed. Did they recast or
they did recast? She committed suicide in the late 90s. Yeah.
Bummer.
Yeah.
It wasn't good. But I mean, like the escalation here too is just really great. Like, and by now he's had to, we should inform you, he's probably had to cut new orifices throughout her body, making her look like an overloved hunk of Swiss cheese.
And they even, I mean, the way they build that with, like, when they're at the Capitol and the guy has the thing of mayo. And
it's, yeah. Oh, yes.
This is what it sounds like now. Like,
yes, exactly.
Just fisting a jar of mayonnaise at a, like, public forum kind of thing. Oh, my God. It's great. And, like, while that's going on, Cartman gets the life-size Antonio Banderas blow-up doll, now with real genitalia. And I love him. He's reading the box, and he thinks it's a... because he signs for a package from his mother, and he thinks, oh, it must be a Christmas present for me. and him reading it and not knowing what genitalia means is just so great. And then they just have this joke of like, where are you going to blow up the doll? You blow it up through the dick, and it's an animated child putting his mouth on a fake penis. I mean, it is... It's wild shit. It's wild ass cartoon.
It's the naivete that sells the joke, right?
Yes, exactly.
Him saying genitalia. And I think that there's like the... Again, as the show kind of gets on, the kids become more mature. Right. And that I think is not... And that's just, you know, a matter of like... It's our 300th episode. They've gone through stuff already.
But
you
know also, what I mean? Like,
precisely.
But also, I think it is reflective of like kids talk because of social media. Kids talk about that shit more. Like, it has happened. What they're talking about has happened. And it's more reflective of what they're going through these days, I think, at least.
So that means you would agree with like children should be tried as adults. And,
I don't know where we got with that, but sure. I mean, what you're talking about, like, I do think what's good about them is they are like merciless about how like selfish kids are and how naive kids are. Like, you're talking about how like Stan does use gay as a pejorative. Like, I think their point is also not that there are no cool kids. Even the coolest kid was doing shitty things when they were a kid. Like, I think
But is Stan Marsh supposed to be the cool kid?
Well, he isn't. That's what's cool about it. But like, he is the most likable character, I suppose.
Yes.
Even like him and Kyle are supposed to be the likable guys.
Right. They're like the neutral. They're like what, you know, they would imagine the viewer was probably just, you know, mid-range kid in elementary school as well.
Right.
Yes, exactly. And like, I do like, but I think that is intertwined with stuff like blowing up the Antonio Banderas doll with the dick. Like, that is, I think, hand in hand goes with those things. And that's what I think I was always drawn to about this show.
Yeah, I think the naivete is funny. And I guess they get rid of that as the show goes on. I don't really know. And you're saying all children are no longer naive.
Well, I mean, I think that's like, I mean, I'm not going to...
Well,
I'm not going to blame it all on 9/11. But like, yeah, like kids started not having the fantasy world they used to have. We didn't have a monoculture anymore. Like,
that's true. Stuff that's like true. That before 9/11, you thought you could do something in this country.
Yeah, well, also, I mean, just keep in mind, like in 1999, we were using the internet a lot differently than we use the internet now.
Absolutely. You know? A lot less.
So that's also a lot less. Also very, very true. So, I mean, I totally get what you're saying, Chris. I just think it made the show lesser for it. You know what I mean?
Big time.
I do love, there's another like great escalated joke here that's not fisting a donkey, which is a really nice, they one by one reveal the Halloween costumes and it's like, oh, Stan's a cute little cowboy. Oh, Kyle's a clown. That's cute. And then here's fucking Kenny in this RoboCop costume.
Ed 209.
Ed 209. Yeah. Oh my God. That is fucking great.
It's really good. Even the hydraulic sounds are there.
Yes.
And, you know, well, Cartman's like, you think you're going to win with that costume?
Yes.
Which is so funny. Like, again, it's another so many levels thing because, like, the escalation from two simple costumes to this, you know, what must have been hundreds of dollars. Yes. But then that joke in and of itself is because, of course, Kenny is the poor kid of the group. We see just how on hard times his family is at all times throughout the show. Or I'm sure there's been an episode by now where they get rich temporarily or some stupid
probably
thing.
Five of those, I would say. Yeah. they go back to the big ones like that.
But yeah, just the notion of like the very, very, you know, poorest kid has this amazing decked out Halloween costume, I think is really fantastic. Meanwhile, the other thing is like, yeah, we sort of talked about it, but the chief giving the press conference about the corpse thievery and what's going on. And this is where we have this wild appearance by the pirate ghosts. Captain Blind is the guy. And like, it's a real like, stay away from our docks or you'll get more of this. And then like a ghost ship comes out of nowhere and starts firing cannons. And these like pirates, everything, are straight up killing people in the town.
Yes, they're
beheading people.
Yeah, cut some heads off. This is all happening during the backdrop of a press conference from the cemetery guys saying that people are having sex with corpses, and it might sound like this, and they take out the mayo jar and start fisting it. The one question, is that necessary?
It's very fun. And, you know, there's just more now the kids are teaming up with Korn. They're like going into a spooky castle to find what is going on. Very Scooby-Doo-ishly, they set up a trap that leads them on a minecart that kind of goes nowhere. Which I think that, like, what's funny about this episode is, again, one of Stone and Parker's better things that they do. They play with silence a lot, and like, or big setup to no punchline, which I think is something that they didn't invent, but I think that they really popularized that I started seeing a lot more with Family Guy and stuff like that. You know what I mean? Like that whole the basically when they turned into when Korn turns into Korn and they do nothing. You know what I mean? Like
various Korn products. Yes. Yeah.
No, yeah, I think they refined that thing. Is it a pirate ghost or a ghost pirate?
Oh, yes.
Like a discussion is something you would. I didn't laugh at it so much this time because I was like, because I've heard it 100,000, like them, somebody else do it 100,000 times on Family Guy or Bob's Burgers or some other Adult Swim show that I'd never seen. Like they've all done it to shit. But I remember when I first saw it, I was laughing my ass off at something like that. As stupid as that.
Did you guys notice the. I don't know if this is what they're referencing, but there's a part where Jonathan Davis finds a book that's literally called like South Park Pirate Lore.
Yes.
And the author is A.R.R. Robbins. And I was like, is that like a J.R.R. Martin thing? Like way before the Game of Thrones TV show made that the biggest
thing joke
ever?
Is R.
R. Robbins. R. Yeah. Oh, R. Okay. All right, yeah, I get that.
But also,
I think mine's funnier.
you might be right.
That's just
George R.R. Martin was around.
Yeah, no, for sure. But yeah, the whole thing about I love the we're gonna set this trap. They're gonna come in here. They're gonna slip on some oil slick on the floor, fall into this mine cart that's here for some reason, and then go into the other room where a net falls on them. And like when you see it happen, and what's happening is. Sorry, my dog just started barking and fucking totally distracted me. But when you see it go down and just like it just goes into this other room where there's like almost nothing in it, and like the minecart track just ends, and it's all this like, how was this here? How did they set that up? Like none of it matters. It's just a joke that kind of stops. Like you think it might be a bigger thing, but it just literally kind of stops, which I think is very funny.
It falls flat. Like that's the gag, and then like. Immediately, the townspeople descend, and everyone thinks Korn is responsible. The pirate ghosts show back up. They put a net on them, and then they just disappear. And this is a very funny bit. I think the beat for beat Scooby Doo parody stuff really makes me laugh.
Yeah,
which is the like they made the ghosts with this flashlight, these cotton swabs, and like. And like that's just a really like specific joke to Scooby-Doo that's very very funny.
Yes, it's so good. It's so ridiculous. Like they demonstrate it by doing this flashlight with the Q-tips, and suddenly the ghost pirates appear.
It's so awesome, and it's like and they made pirate sounds using this cup and a piece of cheese, and it just does it.
And the pirate ship that was just candles, a mirror, and two squirrels.
Oh, it's so absurd. But so then it's like, all right, like the day is saved. The thank you, Korn, all that stuff. And you know, it was just Father Maxi was behind it the whole time because he's anti-Korn music and thinks Halloween is for the devil and whatnot. Yeah. And there's just this Kyle, like the button on this whole scene is Kyle being like, well, if that's all it was, like, where's grandma? And here comes the dog.
Yes.
And in two different parts vomits up this woman's body, like head first and then corpse. Mm-hmm. Oh, man. And it's there she is. It's just awful.
And it takes a while. Again, it's that very South Park-y joke where it's going to take 30 seconds where it could take three. You know what I mean? Like, drag that out. Again, like I've seen that. Again, not to the South Park invented everything, but like that is very similar to the Family Guy. Let's drag this out.
Oh, right. When Peter would get like a knee injury and then it would just be 10 minutes long.
The Family Guy thing was to push everything about the South Park model to 11. Like,
Well, because you do it for a long time. Like you do it till it's not funny and then you keep doing it until it's funny again. Yes. Like that is what that formula is. And I'm not going to pretend like that hasn't worked on me over the years. Like I've laughed at shit.
I do it all the time.
it's very tricky to correctly do that. But yeah, so okay, Korn, like, we're sorry. Like, will you still play our Halloween festival? Absolutely. And so they break into Falling Away From Me, and everybody's kind of rocking and everything. I love Niblet popping the blow up doll, which is really great.
Poor Antonio. I like that Niblet. Niblet is the person, is the character that, like, does the plot for the, like, he's the one who hits the net and gets Maxie down from the upstairs where he's controlling the pirate ghosts.
Good job, Scoob.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then we get, they scare the fifth graders with the body, like you said, Chris, with the stick up its ass. Windy wins best costume for having a Chewbacca mask. Which is Kenny has said about that.
Which I think is a callback to a previous Halloween special, if I'm not mistaken.
There was one, the first, the zombie one from the first season.
And they both I think her and Stan both wear Chewbacca masks, and it's a pretty funny looking Chewbacca mask.
Yeah, that's just great. And then it's like Kenny, like in the Ed 209, like, which is great. And there is, you catch a little of the mid-credit Kenny thing here, because of course we're still doing, he's got to get killed in every episode. It's like a little Star Wars parody mixed in with your Ed 209.
Snowspeeders come up like from Empire Strikes Back and wrap around his costume's legs until he falls down.
HBO Max was like, fuck you, you're not watching that. That's how that
You know what's funny? That happened, Steve, and I was quick on the draw. I usually am not quick enough, and I was like, no, I'm listening to Falling Away From Me.
Yeah, that's what I was like, I'm going to keep the party going, click.
Exactly, and I got to see that little, something kind of integral to the episode, because they did that at the time. Kenny has to fall down or die or whatever the fuck.
And it is kind of funny, because after the Ed 209 costume like falls over, the little speeder's like fucking totally bomb it and kill him. it's really funny. But that's the end of the episode. Go around the horn here for some final thoughts. Steve Sadak.
Yeah, I had a lot of fun with this South Park episode. And it reminded me of the times that I used to watch South Park again, pre-ish 9/11, maybe a little bit after, but not much more after that. And I think that there are definitely, there's a trillion bad South Park episodes we could do that would annoy the piss out of me. But this is back when the show was really, again, like leaning into that parody place, leaning into the kid space, and just that thing of that kind of early mid-season thing you do where you like, you have a golden age and it just sort of, it's okay. And I mean, also, just to say, it's not perfect. The homophobia is there. It never had a place there. But again, like, if this show had ended, you'd be like, well, that's what it was like in 1999. But no, now you have to be like, oh, no, they're still doing that. They're still doing that literally today. Right. And they're tripling down on everything and yada, yada, yada. It just, all these shows need to end. It would be fucking fantastic.
Eric Siska.
Yeah. It's fine. I had a fun enough time revisiting this because I haven't seen it in so long. So it was kind of nice to sit down and actually watch one. I don't know if I'm going to continue, but it was definitely better than I expected.
I'll just hop in and say, it was pleasantly surprising to go back and revisit this and realize like how much of it did hold up. Like the whole gay is a pejorative doesn't work and it never should have been there. But like overall, I think it was still pretty funny. Again, I personally didn't find it too edgelordy. I'm kind of interested in going back and maybe tooling around like this era of South Park, maybe cherry picking some episodes. I'll tell you, I thought at first that the show was going to be on Paramount Plus, so that's where I went. But what they have there are just these like the Paramount Plus original South Park things. And let me tell you right now, I have zero interest in what Matt Stone and Trey Parker had to say about COVID. I will tell you right now, I do not care. but yeah, overall, like I thought this was pretty funny. And again, the dudes from Korn are completely charming and hip to it. So I thought that was pretty great, really added to it. Chris Cabin, final word.
I loved going back to this. I mean, the thing about South Park, I think was always true, even when I was a big fan of it, was it's not like The Simpsons where like every episode, like there's a good couple seasons there where every episode's a banger, like in a minor chord or a major chord, everyone has like some strong stuff. South Park from the beginning had really bad fucking episodes, like stuff that even as a kid, I was like, I don't like this. This is fucking shit. Like Starvin' Marvin fucking sucks. I do not do that shit. Like you should not be doing that shit. But uh, I, I go because like when the highs are high, they're fucking high. Like I remember laughing my ass off at some of this stuff.
Yeah.
And this episode was like a pleasant one. Like this just was jam packed with jokes, with the characters I like, in the world that I had liked. I can't really speak. I haven't watched any of those COVID fucking things. I don't know what they're doing now. I don't know what their opinion of things is right now. I really don't. They might have completely done a U-turn. I wouldn't know because I don't care anymore. maybe at some point I definitely did, but I certainly haven't in a long time.
Well, I looked up on Wikipedia, and it sounds like their one episode, the town does celebrate being vaccinated and life can return to normal. So I guess that's good.
I don't know.
But again, like I'm not interested. Like we've said, like the thing with these shows is like they should end because like I mean, I say they should end because like my use for them is done. But I don't know what kids like. I maybe they do like the new South Park. I have no idea. Like I really don't.
Like there's also someone's room for it. I mean, someone's always watching it, right? But like there's room for, you know, in your life for other new cartoons to explore and other shows and whatever, you know. So, yeah, I mean, I'm sure there's people who have been with it since the jump and are still watching it. And hey, that's great. I just, you know, I'm long removed because I, like Chris, stopped caring. All of us, I think, caring
when
many
this
years
what ago. Happens when something's running for 26 years. Like, I loved Mad Men. If that was going on today still, I probably would have dropped off, you know?
Exactly. It's not like Saturday Night Live where at least like the cast and writing is swapping out every 4 or 5 years. This is just, it's the same, you know, the same kind, you're trying to tell the same kinds of stories for 30 years and it's just impossible. It's just impossible.
Yeah. But what is not impossible is your kick-ass support for this Patreon, which we appreciate you continuing to do here on Animation Damnation. But that is going to do it for this month's episode. Thanks so much for tuning in. We hope you're having a good spooky season and enjoying all the spooktacular content, both here and on the main feed. And that's going to do it. Until next time, everybody, I've been Andrew Jupin.
Steven Sadak.
Eric Siska.
Chris Cabin.
Take it easy. Dum 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 d